This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. And as I always say, I love doing this show because I have the opportunity to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. Tonight, I have a great guest. Her name is Jill Hamlin. She is the founder of the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards, also known as the Appies. This is something that is very interesting to me because there's a historical component to it, and there's also a big cultural component to it because the people that will be actually nominated for these awards are people from Appalachia. I hope I'm pronouncing it. I have a tendency to say Appalachia, Jill. Okay. How is it pronounced?
So it's Appalachia.
Appalachia.
You're holding an apple in your hand and you're going to throw an apple at you.
I'm going to throw an apple at you. Okay, I remember that. That's a good way to remember it. And what I find interesting about this organization, and it is an organization, and the awards, from what I understand, and you can correct me, Jill, really actually contribute to a scholarship fund. Tell the audience a little about your mission in founding and inventing this particular award. This is a second annual coming up.
Yes. So again, thank you for having me. I'm absolutely honored to be speaking with you. And again, just thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm very honored. So within Appalachia, we have this amazing talent. It ranges from everything from singers, orators, writers. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And so what happens, though, is Appalachia has this stigma with it. It's that we're barefoot, we're pregnant, we're married to our cousins, we don't have an education. And that is so inaccurate. And so what we have is we actually have 5 scholarships with this program that go towards educators. And so the educators, so let's say that you win Best High School Band Educator. So what happens with that is you are then presented that award, you as the band director. And then you knowing your students, because educators know their students personally, they know the backgrounds that they come from, they know the struggles that they all face. So then you as the educator are aware of those constraints, shall we say, within your student populace. And so what you get to do is you get to take that scholarship, and let's say Timmy is playing the bassoon in your band. And you are aware that Timmy may not be playing bassoon in Carnegie Hall. However, you know that Timmy has a caring heart and he wants to go into nursing. So he can take that scholarship and go into nursing. Or say he is a wonderful artist. He can take that scholarship and go into graphic design. It's honestly, it's endless. It's absolutely endless, the possibilities that Timmy could take and do that with. And you knowing Timmy's background, know that without this scholarship, he does not have the means or the resources in order to attend college. And so you get to present that to him. And therefore, it doesn't matter who is connected to who, who's related to who. It brings it more grassroots because Appalachia is a caring society and we care about people. And being able to show that caring and nurturing really comes through with the scholarship opportunity that the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards really helps produce. And that scholarship is brought forth by Big Sandy Community and Technical College, which is an amazing school in and of itself. The resources they have there, they have a space science center that's out of this world. Their graphic design department is amazing. Their nursing department is amazing. And I'm absolutely honored that I get to partner with them and be a part of them and their student body and their faculty.
It's a beautiful thing, I have to say. Now, you can explain to the audience a little bit about the area of the United States that is Appalachia. It goes from New York to
Yeah, so it ranges from New York, Maine, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Alabama, South Carolina, Maryland, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. It's 13 states in all, and that is a huge region. So it's really interesting to talk about Appalachia. Might talk to someone in New York or Pennsylvania and talk about Appalachia and being Appalachian, and their response is, well, I'm not from Kentucky. And I'm like, well, you don't have to be from Kentucky. You are Appalachian. You are part of us, and we are part of you. And I think that's beautiful. Again, it's the stigma that goes with that. People don't want to be associated with Appalachia. I was born and raised here. I've moved. I've lived in different places. I've lived in different parts of the country. I've lived in different parts of the world. And I am so proud to be Appalachian. I'm proud of the culture that I was reared in. I am proud of the amazing resources that we have here, the beautiful scenery. It's absolutely amazing. And honestly, I think that not just the 13 states, but people in general have an Appalachian soul. It's that we want to take care of people. We want the best for everyone. We want the best for our families. And that can't be more Appalachian than honestly, apple pie.
More Appalachian than apple pie. Yes.
Absolutely.
I like that. That's a good slogan. I noticed also that, and we talked a little bit about this. We had a quick chat before this interview. There's been a little bit of a shift in the economy in Appalachia. There, at one point, I guess in a certain part of the trail, I call it the trail, okay?
Yes.
There were coal mines. There was coal mining industry has taken a hit, and a lot of families made their livelihood within that industry. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I'm honored to talk about that. I will talk about it on a personal note, if I may. So my father was raised within a coal mining family. My grandfather worked in the coal mines for years and years and years. And so there's a lot that goes with that. There's a pride that goes with that. It's backbreaking, honest work. And it's hard, but it's very much soil underneath your fingertips, shall we say. It's, you know, when you come home from work, you know that you did a day's worth of labor, to make you proud. You are providing for your family. So with the coal mining industry, back in the day, shall we say, what would happen is mostly the males of the family would go to work in the mines. The females of the family would tend to the labors of the home. And we know that stay-at-home mothers or stay-at-home partners, they have a huge job as well. So that in and of itself is a whole nother topic as well. The coal miners did not have it easy. The coal mines back in the day were very much, they owned the land that the family lived on. They owned the homes that the family lived on. So they provided a house. They had a company store. The company also, the coal mining companies had their own currency so that you would get paid, the miners would get paid with this company currency that they could only use in the company stores. So there were other coal mines around, but they did not honor the other currencies. So you were kind of limited to where you could go. So you were very limited in your resources. You were also very limited with your education. You are limited with your spiritual awareness and what would come through that way. So it became very much the coal mining towns really took care of each other. If they would have cooks together, birthday parties together, church functions together, and became not just a community, but really a family. So that I think is so rich. It is so rich. And I'm so proud that I was raised with that dust that still is prevalent today that you see. Now, granted, with the restrictions and the different things that come on as we learn, as we are educated with safety and different regulations and environmental regulations, the coal industry has changed. And so with that comes another hardship. So, you know, anytime you do something good, there's also a risk of doing something bad. Just, you know, that's just part of it. And we're aware of that. But it has taken a big hit financially to the Appalachian region. For years, coal literally kept the lights on for not just America, but for the world, which I think is amazing to know that Appalachians, Kentuckians, West Virginians, Tennesseans, we literally were the backbone of the world. And I think that's amazing. And I'm not saying that there aren't other industries that have done the same thing as well, but coal really was literally the diamonds of the time. So with that, Appalachia really is this forgotten diamond. So people say all the time, well, how are diamonds created? Well, diamonds are created by taking a piece of coal and adding pressure over time. Okay. So then once that happens, you get this diamond. It may not be perfect. It may not be completely rounded or princess cut, but I think it's even more beautiful with all of those different imperfections, because that's culture, that's people, that's society, different imperfections adding to the beauty of the whole. And so Appalachia is really one massive diamond, and I think it's beautiful, and it just sparkles, and it sparkles more every day.
You know, I really love hearing you talk about this. It's such a beautiful thing, and it's true, especially the work ethic component of the people that worked the coal mines, and how the coal mines were very important and imperative to fueling the planet to an extent, I would say. But there was a sacrifice that had to be had because of that, because I know that the coal miners' families and the coal miners themselves, they had to work in a very toxic environment. And I often wonder if anyone ever did anything to compensate the workers for all of this.
So, you know, with that, there are different things that are happening. There is the Black Lung Institute that has been established. And we call it the Black Lung Institute. I'm sure that it has a different name.
You never know.
Pardon me for not knowing the exact name for that, but it is designed to specifically take care of miners that have black lung. And black lung is a horrible, horrible disease. And what it is, it's from all of the soot and the dirt and the dust that came from years without regulations and knowing all of the regulations. And of course, with any safety implements that we have even today, 20 years, 30 years from now are going to be completely null and void. You know, there's always things, you know, we transform as we learn. And I think that's awesome as well. But what the soot and everything did is it harbored and it made its way into the lungs of the miners. And these miners from back in the day could range from ages 6, 7, 8 years old, all the way up to complete adults, grandfathers even. So, you know, you had children and adults that this affected. Not only that, but a lot of times the towns or the settlements were very close to the mines. So, you know, it's kind of that secondhand smoke, shall we say, you know, even though you may not be a smoker, if you're around a smoker, you're still inhaling that sort of mindset. So it affected hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people. And even today, they still are suffering the ramifications of black lung. So it would settle in the lungs and create respiratory issues. And people die from this. And it's a horrible, horrible disease. And my thoughts and my prayers go out to all of the families that have been affected by this, absolutely. But it also brought out the caring and nurturing nature that we have, because we would take care of, and we still take care of, our families or our friends that suffer from this. And with that, you see in this area a huge spike in people going into nursing or going into long-term care, because that's part of us, is we take care. We don't shut away. We don't forget about. It's not a metamorphosis, shall we say, of where you lock it away and you forget about it. We meet it head on, which is what makes us strong and makes us very vital to not just the U.S., but to the world is we meet things head on. We don't back down. We are strong. We're independent, but yet we rely on each other as well. And I'm proud of that.
So the integrity is there. Talk to the audience a little bit about the Country Music Highway and the Mountain Arts Center.
Yes. So the Country Music Highway, it's a beautiful drive, and it's called US 23. And it goes all the way from Tennessee all the way up through West Virginia. It's a beautiful stretch of highway. And there are so many artists, musicians that have come from US 23. You have Loretta Lynn. You have Chris Stapleton. You have Tyler Childers. You also have
Conway Twitty.
Actually, Conway Twitty was from Mississippi, I believe.
Ah! Okay, you would know better than me.
Oh, gosh. So don't quote me on that one.
Okay.
You also have, I can see him. I can see his face and his hat. Dwight Yoakam. There he is. As well, that have come from that span of highway. You also have the Judds as well. So, you know, and that's US 23, it's a big area, but of course, in comparison, it's actually pretty small when you're talking about all of these major, and those are just, you know, just some buzzwords there of these major, quote, players that are in the music industry already. There are also other artists that are painters, sculptors, writers as well, like Silas House as well, that come from that span of the area. And I think it's interesting that when people look at Appalachia, again, they don't look at what we actually have to offer and what that we actually bring to the table. We bring to the table so much. But what happens is those people are afforded these wonderful opportunities to maybe move somewhere else, relocate, and I think that's wonderful. But then they kind of get taken and republicized as being from a different area. Because being from Appalachia or being from the US 23 area highway isn't really deemed as worthy. It's like you have to be removed and republicized and reinvented in order to have worth. And I think that's completely wrong. And we're very proud of what we have. Like these people are us and we are them. And one thing that I think is wonderful is the people that I have mentioned there still do pay homage to where they are from and where their roots really were. And I think that's wonderful. And again, I'm honored, and I know that they are honored to be from where they're from, because if it hadn't been from where they were from, they wouldn't be where they are now.
They wouldn't be who they are, you know?
Exactly.
The other thing is I noticed that you're going to have people giving awards at the awards ceremony. And I think, is it Tyla Lynn, which is Loretta Lynn's daughter or granddaughter, will be presenting an award. And the reason I mentioned Conway Twitty, because Trey Twitty will be presenting an award as well.
Tayla and Trey, absolutely. Listen, those two are hysterical. They crack me up. They have this banter between them that literally there is no script that you could write that could be any better than literally what they are in their heart and souls. And what they are is honest, true people. They're grassroots. They have been afforded all of these wonderful opportunities that you and I would honestly love to have had, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't let that change who they are. And who they are is they're Appalachians. They care about the people in Appalachia. They care about their listening audience. They're the type of person that if you saw them on the street in the middle of winter, they would give you the coat off their back. And I think that that is beautiful. And again, that's just part of Appalachia. That's what we do. We take care of people. Even if we don't have it to give, we'll find a way to give it.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. I must say it really is. I think it's interesting that it seems that the Appy Awards being held also at the Mountain Arts Center is going to change the image of Appalachia. Yeah, I know you have Travis Short as your publicist for this, and he's an amazing publicist. I think that there's a lot of mindfulness going into planning of this event. And I can see that it might become one of the famous, one of the like popular events like the Grammys, the Oscars, all of those awards will be the Appies. Because I believe that people will relate to the community that you're actually serving and the community that's actually being represented creatively. Often we hear a lot about people from more rural areas, artists in particular, being exploited for their art. Because a curator will go down and say, oh, yeah, this stuff is really good. Nobody's ever heard of this guy. No one knows about this place. And you're putting it on the map.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm smiling to hear you say that because I'm smiling right now.
I believe you. You have a smile. Ridiculous. I can hear the smile in your voice. I can hear it.
It's amazing. Again, we have such talent here. The painters, the sculptors, the songwriters, the storytellers. It's so much part of our DNA that even we kind of take it for granted. We are so lucky and fortunate to have such a rich culture, to be able to say, okay, so let's put it in this kind of format. If you have a get together, if you have a cookout, or if you're coming home from church on Sunday and everybody's getting together, or it's Christmas, it is not out of the ordinary for there to be a guitar or a violin or something hanging around. And I guarantee you someone can play it, and not just play it, but play it well. And a lot of times it's done by ear. So, you know, they haven't actually had, you know, the training, the formal training, but it's in their heart and it's in their soul and it's in their DNA. It's been passed down so much that they can hear it, they can feel it, and they share it. So with that, it's almost a dismissive thing. So people will say, oh, Tony, you sounded so great playing that song or singing that song. I really love to hear you play or sing. And you would then automatically say, oh, you know, you would dismiss it because it's just part of who you are. It's part of what we do. You could go to your local store and come out, pick up a rock and throw it. And I guarantee you it would hit 15 people that have such amazing talent that don't believe that their talent is worthy. And it's amazing. And I really hope that the Appies shed light on that. It's something that we are proud of, but we've been told to be proud is something that you should not be. It goes against our initial rearing, shall we say. When we say that we're proud of something, we're not trying to go against those teachings or those kind of beliefs at all. It's that you can be proud. You can be proud of your family for who they are and what they do. You can be proud of the talents that, as we say here, that God blessed you with. And I think that that's wonderful and that's beautiful, and it needs to be shared. A lot of times people will say, oh, that's not good. What you need to be listening to is so-and-so. And so-and-so, again, has an amazing talent. So then you go and talk to them. And they say, no, well, if you really want to know talent, you should listen to my grandfather, or you should listen to my grandmother. And I think it's amazing that we are proud of others. We're proud of the others. And I think that that's amazing. But then also the others are proud of us. And I think that that gets really looked over and dismissed and doesn't get recognized because, you know, again, it's that stigma of Appalachia is not something that is worth looking at. It is not something that is considered educated. And the way I see education, Tony, is differently. I know people that have so many different initials and letters after their names. You know, there's not enough paper in the world to write it down. And then I know people, my grandfather included, who didn't finish the eighth grade because, you know, that wasn't part of the culture at the time. But yet at the same time, I would let that person cut my head off and reattach it because I know that they can. It's, we know how to exist. We know how to survive, especially during adversity. Because if it hadn't been for adversity, honestly, I don't know that Appalachia would be what it is today. Because it taught us how to be strong. It taught us how to rely on not just ourselves, but on others. And we don't ask for handouts. That's something, you know, that's kind of just part of our culture. We don't ask for the handout. We try to figure it out ourselves. We're kind of stubborn in that way, I think.
Okay.
But yet at the same time, if someone needs help, we recognize it. We recognize it. It doesn't matter if someone is your worst enemy. If they needed help, if they needed something, if their children needed something, they would have it. We would make sure they had it. Nobody goes without in Appalachia. We take care.
Well, it sounds like you talk a lot, what you're talking about, what you're describing, in my estimation. And I'm one of those people who has a lot of education, but I know better. I know that it doesn't mean that I'm smarter than anyone else. It just means I know how to find out. That's all it really means. But I think that it's all about lifelong learning. And I see that you also you're selling tickets to the Appy Awards this year in Kentucky, and also you're still open to nominations until December 31st. Tell the audience a little bit about how they can be nominated or nominate someone and how they can get tickets to the awards.
Absolutely, I would love to. Okay, so as you said, the nominations end right when the ball drops on New Year's Eve. So right when the ball drops and we start a whole new year, which I cannot wait to start a whole new year. I'm ready.
You ready?
For this new energy, for this new resurgence of energy to happen. But you can go to AppalachianArtsAndEntertainmentAwards.com and submit there. There will be a little drop-down menu for you to nominate an artist. There are 53 awards, Tony.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
It is. And I'm so excited because it ranges from best sculptors to best educators, best tattoo artists, best graphic designers, best vocalists. I mean, it's endless. It's endless. And of course, each year we're going to add new categories. So if there are listeners out there that think of a new category when you go to the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards.com, if you see something that we need to add, please email us. Let us know. We'll take it to the board because we're growing. Appalachia is always growing. That's something that I think is cool too, is that we're always open to this new transformation of goodness.
It sounds like a lot is coming out of the woodwork through these awards. People don't really know about this. And it sounds like you're coming out of the woodwork with a lot of new and exciting and beautiful artistic endeavors that people engage in.
That's exactly right. We really are. And, you know, tickets are on sale currently. There, you can get VIP tickets that allow you for the red carpet event. Like you said, this is like the Grammys or the Emmys of Appalachia. This is really where we can show our stuff. We can show the world exactly what Appalachia is, not this commercialized view, the stigmatized commercialized view of Appalachia, but really what Appalachia is and its talent and its beauty. And that is us. And we are going to strut our stuff on that red carpet, honey. Let me tell you now, it's going to be amazing. And so, you know, people need to come and see this event because you're going to be exposed to authors, to educators, to musicians, to Appalachia. You're really going to see Appalachia. And it's going to be amazing. So there is a red carpet event that starts at 6 o'clock on April the 9th. Then the show starts at 7 o'clock. Then after the show, there is an after party. So if you buy a VIP ticket at MacArts.com, you buy your ticket there, buy the VIP ticket because that gets you into the show, the red carpet, the show, and then also the after party, where then you can rub elbows with all of these wonderful winners, all of these amazing presenters that are coming from all over the Appalachian region. It's going to be amazing. We even have people coming from LA that believe in the region and believe in the talent that we have here. And they see our value and we see our value. And we want to share that value with everyone, because not only do we value ourselves, but we value everyone. And so we're very open and very, very excited to host you all here in our wonderful city of Prestonsburg, Kentucky. It's a beautiful town. There is, let me tell you, we have the scenery, we have the outdoors, we have the indoors, we have the culture, we have the entertainment for you here. And you get to come and you get to see that. And let me tell you, Prestonsburg Tourism, when you buy your ticket, contact Prestonsburg Tourism. They will put you a wonderful package together, and you will not miss a thing about the beautiful scenery that is here for everyone to enjoy. And as we say here, God created it. Let's enjoy it. It's here.
The Mountain Arts Center, okay, which is on the Country Music Highway, correct?
Yes, it is. It is.
So the Mountain Arts Center, is this a facility that's open normally? It almost sounds like a museum, the way, you know, you describe. Is it a performance venue? Just give a little description of it. I'm curious.
I've been very fortunate to see a lot of different productions in a lot of different venues. And I will say the Mountain Arts Center is one of the most beautiful facilities I have ever seen in my entire life. The staff there are top-notch. They have some of the best sound people, sound engineers, stage managers, lighting directors, box office staff. I mean, they know their stuff. They absolutely know their stuff, and they love what they do. And I think that's very integral to them and to the Mountain Arts Center. It's not just a job. It is their life. They would not be there if they didn't believe in it. And that's, again, very Appalachian. You never assign your name to something that you don't always want your name linked to. That is the Mountain Arts Center, definitely. It seats over 1,100 people. The stage is, there is not a bad seat in the house. I'm only 4'10" tall, okay? I can sit in any seat in that theater and see the entire stage. There is not a bad seat in the house. There is not an obstructed view anywhere. I'm telling you, any ticket you buy, you are going to feel like you were sitting right smack in the middle of that stage during any performance that you come and see, the Appies included. It's just amazing. My mind is going so fast just because of how excited I am to talk about the facility. It does house a coal museum inside of it. So you'll be able, it's the Cedar Coal Museum. So when you come, you'll be able to look through that and peruse through the life of what it's like, or what it was like, to live in a coal mining camp. You'll get to see a lot of artifacts from years previous to year to date as well. We also have a art gallery that showcases local artisans, Appalachian artisans as well. The Mountain Arts Center not only showcases local and regional talent, but national and international acts as well. Everything from country to opera to ballet to bluegrass. We host it all, and it's amazing. And again, I don't care where you go, you're never going to get treated any better than at the Mountain Arts Center.
So the selection of arts that will be actually presented and exposed and promoted, you know, through this exposure is quite diverse. If it goes from opera to ballet, and then you get the things that one would expect of an area like that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's something for everyone. I know that's kind of a very cliche statement, but it's very true. You find your folk arts, you find your trained arts, like with ballet and opera as well. But really, it just showcases entertainment and arts for what they are, and it's beautiful. And it's sad to think that the first budget cuts that come typically in schools or education or in different areas are the arts. And without art, we're nothing. You know, it's that statement of, you know, you take earth and you remove art, you're just left with eh.
Yeah.
And it's very true. And I'm so thankful and blessed and honored in every way to know that in this area, we regard the arts very highly. And the Mountain Arts Center definitely showcases that. And so with the Mountain Arts Center and with the city of Prestonsburg and with Big Sandy Community and Technical College, we all realize the importance of art, the importance of entertainment, the importance of the people that produce these wonderful works. And again, that's all showcased at the Mountain Arts Center and with the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards.
Well, I'm certainly excited about it. And I'll say this, you know, just we have to end our interview just for now, but you'll be coming back soon. I feel that the arts really actually sort of fill in the blanks of everything that's missing in this, on this planet. The arts will fill in the blanks somehow, you know? They fill in the blind spots.
Yes.
And I think Appalachia is really a good example of this, pretty much, because a lot of people don't understand. And when they hear this interview, they will. I'm really so grateful that you actually spearheaded this particular awards ceremony. I can hardly wait to see it. Is there a way that someone can see it, perhaps on the internet or streaming?
We did last year, which was our first year. We ended up having to go virtually because, you know, the world kind of shut down with COVID as well. So the original plan was, again, to have a red carpet event and showcase everything as we are doing in 2022. So you can actually go to TCN, the Country Network, and you can watch the virtual presentation of the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards that we did last year.
Oh, great. TCN. For the Appalachian Awards, and that is very mainstream. I believe a lot of people are going there right now as we speak. Yes, I'm going to go there. And it is mainstream, and I just want to let the audience know that it's nice to be able to see something sort of close to its inception. So then when you look at it again 5 years ago, you can watch the growth. And you can also watch the different artists that are coming out, I say, of the woodwork. There are people that you don't know about, but there'll be people at this particular awards ceremony that everybody knows. Because I understand at the first annual one, there were a number of famous people. I won't name drop for this one, but as you get closer, we'll do the name dropping as we get closer to the date. But I thank you so much, Jill. You've given such a wonderful explanation of something that no one knows anything about, and it sounds extraordinarily entertaining and important. And I think it'll take some of the stigma away from Appalachia. If you've ever been on the Appalachian Trail, you know, it'll humble you. I was on it recently, and I was humbled by it and amazed by the magic just being on that trail. You know, and now there'll be the awards. My goodness, it's fantastic. It's a beautiful thing. So will you come back and talk to me again sometimes and talk to the audience again about this?
I would be honored. Thank you so much. I would absolutely be honored to do so.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, Jill. And I'll just say real quickly that the deadline for nominations is December 31st at midnight as we move into 2022, and that you're taking applications, nominations. If there's anybody that you know, you can contact Jill Hamlin on the address on the websites that we've mentioned before. If you want to say it one more time, how they can contact you, that would be good.
Yes. So you go to AppalachianArtsAndEntertainmentAwards.com. We're also on all the social medias as well with the same tag there. You can message us, you can email us, you can submit yourselves, submit someone you know. There's nothing more amazing than finding out that someone respects the craft that you do by being nominated. And I think that's amazing. So nominate.
It could be a holiday gift for someone. It could be someone's Christmas gift that you nominated them. If you know them and you know they're talented, don't let it be a secret. So often we don't praise the the talents and the accomplishments of others. And I think that would be a really good thing to do for people that I know. I'll say to the audience, I know you know somebody that's good. And so
absolutely.
And so next time we do an interview, it's going to be closer to the awards, Jill, and I look forward to it. And I'll say goodnight to our audience. Thank you, Jill, so much for coming on to the Energy Stoners Cafe. And I'll thank the audience for tuning in once again. I really love doing this. It's one of the most favorite things that I do. And I do a lot of things, but I'm committed to this show. I'm committed to this podcast. And I'll see you next time. Happy holidays, everybody. Be safe and be nice. Good night. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.